Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses that are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, little joys in life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Avlesh Singh, co-founder and CEO, WebEngage. Avlesh has had a remarkable journey, transforming from an IIT, Indian School of Mines, Dhanbad graduate to a resilient SaaS entrepreneur. He began his career as a principal engineer and search architect with Burp, India's first local food and restaurant recommendation engine. In 2011, Avlesh decided to venture into software as a service space, and Ankit Uttareja, the duo, co-founded WebEngage. Avlesh is passionate about creating a tool that spearheads retention marketing as a practice worldwide. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Avlesh.
Thanks, Gaurav. I'm super excited to be here and very, very happy to do this. Look forward to learning more and sharing more.
Okay, WebEngage is now in its 12th year. Take us through your journey. How has the road been so far? Are you suffering from pangs of adolescence?
Well, nobody asked me this way, but no, it's been a long journey, Gaurav. 12 years, yes, it's a very, very long time. And it's been journeys of highs and lows, a lot of lows, if you compare it with a typical startup journey. But in due course, Gaurav, one thing that has happened is to me as an individual and then to WebEngage as a company is we've grown very, very resilient about how we think of life and work and business in general, you know, driving our decisions in a certain way. And I'm happy to share those in this podcast today. But, you know, because you quickly wanted a rundown on the journey, we started in 2011, where one of the very early SaaS products in India, and you know, SaaS ecosystem was not as large, the venture ecosystem was not as large as it is now, but we did manage to raise a small bit of capital that came in from Rajan Anandan, who is now our partner at Sequoia. Used to be an angel investor back in the day, and he was the then head of Google India. He and a couple of other angels came together. We raised a small round, quickly followed by some institutional rounds of investment from GTI Capital, Bloom, etc. And from 2011 till 2015, it was a journey of SMB SaaS for us. In that first avatar, WebEngage was an on-site engagement tool, wherein we built a tool that allowed you to throw pop-ups on your website. We had customers all over the world. You know, in fact, US was half our customer base. India was about 40%. The rest were all thinly spread. SMB product. And then, you know, I don't know what happened to us, but I think we just wanted to make more money from the same customers. That was the key driving force. And that led us into expanding the product into sort of a much bigger marketing platform, and which is the WebEngage you know now. This was a major pivot that happened in our journey from 2015 to 16. In July of 16, we launched this product. And that journey has been about 7 years now. It's been a different journey altogether compared to the previous one, and very painful also. But yes, last two, three years, they have been very good. Things have been great in the company as far as growth is concerned. Growth brings its own challenges and problems, but you know, those are all nice to have and good to solve. But yeah, you know, happy to take you through these phases as and when in the conversation.
Absolutely. You know, gone are the days when companies look at the customers as a source of revenue. They instead are value partners who can make or break the way businesses operate today. What makes customers choose one brand over the other? Avlesh?
Sure, Gaurav, I wish I had a good answer for it. But, you know, in crowded spaces like ours, Gaurav, that's a very pertinent and an important question also for founders to mull over and solve for as a part of their GTM. When a space is crowded, you know, I say this to my team also, Gaurav, is that it also means that it's a very large space, right? The TAM is large. The number of people with that problem, they're also huge in number, which is why it is a crowded space. That gives you this small window of opportunity to find the niches where you're very good at. It's very hard to be good at everything, right? And you can eventually be good at everything, but that journey itself takes you a few years to get there. In that journey, what I advise most founders to do, and you know, what's been sort of the mental framework at our company also, is to keep identifying niches which are underserved in that large market opportunity. They may be small to begin with, sure, but you know, there are many, many windows of small opportunities in there, in those small niches, for you to create a very highly differentiated offering. If you just focused on those niches, you go win a few, and then you keep expanding, keep growing in newer segments, newer geographies, et cetera, et cetera. The template for growth at WebEngage has been on very similar lines. And that's been always my advice to founders in crowded categories also.
You know, it's also about relationship with customers. And to develop a relationship with customers that goes beyond a mere transaction, companies need to adopt a customer-centric approach. This means putting the customer at the center of all business decisions and activities and focusing on creating positive experiences and building long-term relationship. The longer the relationship, the higher is the retention. How does WebEngage aid in this process?
I can't agree more with you. Yes, and you know, if you go back to the name WebEngage, engagement is core to our existence. And you know, engaging with our own customers is no different. You know, we'll live up to our name on all possible fronts. The complexity of tools like WebEngage, Gaurav, makes it of paramount importance that we do engage with customers in a very meaningful and deep way. Our relationships are very deep. They you know, right from the time the customer expresses intent to learn more about WebEngage and then eventually go into the buy cycle to buy, the cycle itself is very, very, they spend a lot of time, in some cases months, to make that decision that they want to buy WebEngage. And then comes in, once they do, then comes in the phase of implementation and onboarding, followed by ongoing success rollouts. All of these phases, they have a huge amount of human connect. So this is not like SMB SaaS, where you go find a product, you like it, you put your card on file and you start using that product. You know, WebEngage and products in the category, they're not like that. They, you know, the very fact that a customer has to spend a lot of time trying to figure out the problems that they want to solve for, and then the right tools, just the right tools that solve for those problems, itself is a very Herculean task. So yes, given how, what kind of product WebEngage is, customer engagement is core to our existence. We do end up spending a lot of time with the customer, thereby giving us a lot of these opportunities to build those relationships we're talking about. And you know, I would want to believe that WebEngage is lot more better than all its peers as far as you know, building deep customer relationships are concerned, because we very are deeply motivated by the problem that we are solving for the customer, Gaurav, and also translating that into key business goals that the customer has. The core mission within our customer success is that if you don't make money for the customer, there's no point spending time on both ends, neither for us nor for the customer, because ultimately, you know, they'll stop seeing any value in us. And all of that needs very deep engagement. So yes, it's core to our existence.
And who do you count as your competitors?
Well, you know, so it's a kind of a as I said, very crowded space, Gaurav, and also very, very fragmented. There are different kinds of customers who would, at certain stages in their company, look for a marketing tech tool or a marketing automation tool. Whether you talk small businesses or mid-market businesses or enterprises for that matter, to zoom in and put this answer in perspective, WebEngage services the consumer brands, right? So B2C companies only. All our deployments and the product capabilities that we build are built for the use by B2C companies. And when I say B2C companies, then as you would imagine, there is a wide range of such companies from size and scale to different kind of industry segments, be it consumer tech startups like, the likes of a Myntra, the likes of a GoIBPO, or somebody like an Unacademy or a Grow or a LendingCart. All of these companies across different segments, right? E-commerce, travel, edtech, fintech, all of these consumer tech companies or startups for that matter are one part of the WebEngage customer base. What we also do very well is on the enterprise / legacy customer segments. So for example, Unilever is a global deployment for us, and they use us across 10 different countries to drive more engagement on the Unilever ecosystems, followed by, in India, companies like the Adani Group, companies like Eureka Forbes, Ventura Securities, Axis Securities, DMI Finance, I can go on. The long list of enterprise customers have a very different set of needs altogether as far as the platform is concerned. The third category is SMB. We don't necessarily call it SMB, but in our context, we usually refer to them as early stage startups. And we have a separate startup program to cater to such customers. A lot of these are very early stage D2C brands. Now, if you zoom in into each one of these, the answer to your question on who competition is, Gaurav, will change. So, just to simplify this, if you had to look at a 30,000 feet view, our major competition comes from the enterprise segment, where you have very large software makers who have put together what they call as marketing clouds over the last two decades, and they go in servicing the needs of the enterprise customers. These are companies like Adobe, which has an Adobe Marketing Cloud, Oracle has a Marketing Cloud, Salesforce has a Marketing Cloud, and so on and so forth, right? So these are the large software makers. Then in the consumer tech world, there are two kinds of tools. There are mobile marketing tools, and then there are omnichannel tools. There are about a dozen such tools in the Americas, right from a company like Braze to somebody like Localytics, somebody like Kahuna, or an Urban Airship, and so on and so forth. And then there are some tools emerging in from markets that we operate in, including India and the Middle East. And these are companies like Insider, CleverTap, etc. So it's this wide range of tools which are essentially, who we are competing with. But as I was trying to highlight earlier, there are all these different segments. Once you zoom in, it's a very different kind of competition and market segment.
The customer is not a homogeneous entity. And, while there are critical measures, critical markers in measuring success, eventually customer loyalty comes from something that is not really measurable or tangible. How can companies ensure that customers love them, which is much more than mere engagement? How does WebEngage help in this process?
I think it's largely the DNA of measurement is a DNA of company. Every company measures things in the way the DNA of their founders, the companies, is all laid out. Ankit is my other founder, and we've been engineers all our lives. We've built products, created products. That's all we know the best. Everything that I end up doing, whether it's sales or marketing or anything else, is all a byproduct in that journey. At the very core, we remain engineers, and that essentially drives a lot of how our measurement and tracking works. Which is, if you had to ask me, how do we measure customer happiness? A lot of people will answer NPS. We do that too. However, if you had to ask me how I look into some of these metrics, it's very simple: product usage. if what we've built is being used well by our customers, you know, they'll find their happiness, we'll find our happiness. And turns out that's the hardest thing to do in enterprise and mid-market software, because, you know, building is one thing and getting them adopted is absolutely another. Now I have armies of people and processes to ensure that people use what we create for them and use in the way that we create for them. If that goes well, Gaurav, customer happiness comes and everything else follows, better growth, better revenue, et cetera. But most people don't get this right in terms of measurement. I think we do a fairly decent job on that side.
And, you know, how are you harnessing the power of experiential technology for your clients? You know, brands are increasingly, I ask you this question because brands are increasingly gravitating towards emerging technology trends that will aid their customer queries, you know, and integrate interactive and personalized features. For instance, live chat, chatbots, self-servicing tools that enable access to products and services on the go with probably better individualized attention. What kind of experiential technology that you're offering to your clients? Publish.
Gaurav, the thing with all marketing tech, including retention platform like a WebEngage, we live on the cutting edge of all this tech all the time. And most of these tools will continue to evolve over a period of time, catering to the new needs or new market demands. You know, just to give you an example, 6-7 years ago when we started the retention journey, we were barely 3 or 4 channels to begin with. Today we do 14 to 15 channels, and these are all channels of engagement that we keep enabling for our customers, and we'll keep doing more as we go along. But you know, to answer your question, I think it's in our category, it's almost, you know, a part of your product roadmap to keep bringing in new stuff for the customers. Based on where the user attention is going. Wherever the users are, the brands would want to chase them there, and we'll have to follow, providing them all the tools in their kitty to be able to do that. So yes, living on the edge all the time.
Absolutely. And also, Avlesh, you are also sitting on a huge repository of data. This is rich in details of consumer behavioral patterns, product buying patterns, ticket size of transactions, etc., all broken down to geography and location and demography also probably. How are you using this data?
Oh, absolutely. Just to give you sort of a ballpark, we track about 4 billion events every day, Gaurav. And when I say events, these are those data points you're referring to. Somebody launched an app, somebody browsed for a product, somebody made a transaction, somebody looked at the recommendations. All of these are what we call as events. And we are talking to the tune of 4 billion a day, billion with a B. So yes, insane volumes of data. Our outlook on how we put all this to use, Gaurav, is two perspectives. One, of course, we provide the data back to our customers for their own benefit, be in the form of segmentation, be in the form of personalization, be in the form of being able to target better. The customer uses the same data sets of their customers to be able to personalize better. So that's one. Two is we do anonymized benchmarking. So if you are, for example, a D2C brand or an edtech company, And your campaigns or your outreaches are performing at a certain level of pace, we would be able to tell you as a platform that you're doing great or you need to improve. And that's a great asset to marketing managers, retention managers, product managers, using the platform, because now they know that they could do better. The problem with all these tools around campaigns, be it campaigns on the Google network, Facebook network, or campaigns like us, right? People don't have benchmarks. People don't know are they doing okay? If some campaign is converting at a rate of 2%, is that good or bad? There's no data for you, or there's no place for you to go find an answer to that question. We try to solve it with the huge piles of data that we're sitting on. We at least try to guide you in the right way. So yes, that's what we do. What we absolutely don't do, Gaurav, is go outside of the first-party data context. WebEngage will continue to always be a first-party data CRM, which basically means that even if Gaurav goes across 50 different apps on which WebEngage can track you and we track you, none of those 50 apps will leverage from whatever Gaurav is doing on any other app. Their data universe and visibility remains, or rather is restricted to the data on their own app behavior by that user. And we are very, very clear about this. In that context, you know, we try to put this data to use for the customers.
Yes, Avilesh, you know, last question. What next for WebEngage? You have raised $20 million in Series B. Any plans to get listed? What are the next steps?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And we are not very far from that milestone. Another 2 to 2.5 years on the outer side, as far as listing is concerned. And we are very excited about that journey. You know, we are learning a lot of things on financial prudence, things that you generally tend to sort of lose track of when you raise capital. Thankfully, we are a very different company. But we'll get there. I think what we intend to do, Gaurav, in the coming years is to essentially encompass this entire journey of a user. You know, when we're talking about brands that, you know, the customers that we service, their users, their entire life cycle is, you know, right from the moment of them having their first interaction with the brand, digital or otherwise, and completing that entire cycle of being a customer and then a repeat customer, all the way to loyalty and being able to refer the brand to some of their friends. We want to actually just complete this entire value chain, right? So today there are few opportunities within this life cycle bucket that WebEngage does not solve for. And we intend to, in the next few years, to basically encompass this entire offering and bring it under one umbrella for our customers so that they don't actually have to use anything else outside of WebEngage, for this orchestration. So yes, then the product track, on the listing track, we are very excited about that potential opportunity for the company to list in India. And hopefully everything goes well.
Thanks, Avilesh. Thanks for sharing these very deep insights and perspectives on customer retention, loyalty, customer engagement, the road ahead for technology being used for customer retaining customers, and also what goes behind maintaining high customer retention. Thanks for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation.
My pleasure, Gaurav. Thank you so much. And I hope this helped, and wish all the very best to you and listeners of the podcast.
Thank you so much. Guys.